entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larr Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Say I'm full of bull and crazy as a loon. I work hard in the morning, talk hard in the afternoon. I'm kind of like an old blue tick hound, just like to lay around in the shade. But don't think I ain't got nothing at all, 'cause I dang sure have got it made. 'Cause I live right here in America. It's my country, it's my home. If you don't like what I'm saying, you just call this loudmouth country boy on the phone. All right, that's right, folks. You are listening to... Thank you very much, Nicholas Cicero in there. And he put that mix together in no time at all. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. Has Rush Limbaugh ever done that for you? I know he has sung on the spoofs that he put together with Paul Shanklin, but those were recorded. This was live music, folks. That's right. This is live. You hear that guitar? Hope it's in tune. This is my Depression-era Martin. What is a Depression-era Martin guitar? It is a Martin guitar. If you know anything about acoustic guitars, you know Martin guitars are some of the finest acoustic guitars made in the world. They're made both here in the United States, and now they also have a factory, I believe, in Mexico. Well, during the Great Depression, they wanted to keep all their workers working, and they wanted to keep some models selling on the shelves. But, of course, guitars for most people are a luxury item. And hold on, let me set this down where it doesn't get broken. And so what they did was they came up with a bare-bones version, stripped down, just bare-bones Martin guitar at a bare-bones price, and they sold them during the Great Depression. Now, if you have one of those Depression-era Martin guitars, you have got something worth a lot of money. This one is a modern-era Depression Martin guitar. They did the same thing in 2009 and 2010 because, well, we had a president that didn't really know how to get us out of a real depression or recession, and so they wanted to keep the factory going, and they wanted to keep the guitar selling, so I picked up a great Martin at a cheap price. Yes, that's what I spent the lessons. That's what I spent the money on the lessons for. Thank you very much. Nostradamus says he warned our listeners on Facebook. Ah, thanks. That's what I get for letting you control the Facebook entries. Okay. So once again, welcome to the show tonight, folks. Yeah, Larr Adams is out. Nostradamus is out. I got the run of the joint. Just Nick and I. And by the way, speaking of Nicholas Cicero, you haven't heard him talk much on our show, if at all. Nick, say hi to our listeners, will you please?
Hey, guys.
And tell us what your new show is going to be like and where it's going to be. He's going to start a new show. It's going to be called WDW, News Today Radio Show. What's that all about, Nick?
It's going to be all about news and everything to do with Walt Disney World. It'll get you ready for the week ahead. It'll air every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on our sister station, 1520 WBZW. And a lot of people might know WDW News Today as a website and a podcast. It's been around for about 6 years now. And I joined up with them, brought them over to the radio side. So they have a lot of, you know, a lot of resources, a lot of know-how. They've been doing it for a while, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
It sounds like it's going to be a great show. And if anybody knows anything about Walt Disney World, Walt Disneyland, all that stuff, it's Nick LoCicero. So congratulations, Nick, and good luck on your new show.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay. Once again, folks, yep, if you don't like what I'm saying or what I'm singing, just give me a call right here, 407-774-8255 is that number. Today on the show, we've got Lenny Curry is going to join us. He's the chairman of the Florida Republican Party. And after him, we're going to bring in Tom Tillison of BizPack Review, and Dr. Dennis will be joining us later on as well. And one of the things I'd like to talk about with Lenny, if we have time, is what I'm calling around here the war on the middle class that is being waged by this president in particular, by liberals in general, and every now and then by Republicans too, when they come up with some new program or new outlay that, you know, the burden always falls to the middle class. I don't know if you heard, but over the weekend, the White House quietly announced that the spending caps on your out-of-pocket expenses for medical care under Obamacare, there were to be spending caps. This was supposed to be one of the great, you know, the great new techniques of holding medical costs down for you, the consumer. They were going to put caps on your out-of-pocket expenses. So those are out the window now. There will be no caps on out-of-pocket expenses, and so you could still end up, even under Obamacare, even though we were told that this would not happen under Obamacare, yes, you could still end up broke and bankrupt from those out-of-pocket expenses. Now, once again, are the out-of-pocket expenses going to affect the rich? No, not so much so, right? Because they're rich, okay? Are they going to affect the poor? No, not so much so. Why? Because they just get a greater subsidy from the government. And, oh, yeah, by the way, who pays for that subsidy from the government? Well, mostly the middle class. So, yeah, the middle class is definitely getting squeezed. It's harder than ever. And this, however, is the key for Republican victory. And that is to take up this mantle that I have started about the war on the middle class, recognize the war on the middle class, point it out in your debates and your speeches, and then propose solutions, growth-oriented, positive economic solutions. And they've got to be bold, they've got to be simple, and they've got to be direct. And on top of that, I think also, too, that the Republicans, from the presidential nominee right on down, should be touting that everybody, and that includes everyone in government, should follow the same laws, and that no one, simply because they work as a congressional staffer in a senator or a congressman's office, should be exempt from the same laws that they helped to write that the rest of us poor slobs have to abide by. And this business about Congress and their staffers being exempt from Obamacare is just the latest example of this sort of thing happening. And, of course, our founding fathers didn't want this sort of thing happening, and for a very good reason. They knew that if these fools who were up there making the laws didn't have to abide by the laws that they were making, well, guess what? Human nature tells us they wouldn't be so careful about how they write those laws, right? So they should be made to eat the same pudding that they made for the rest of us. And then perhaps they'll come down off their high horse and say, well, maybe we made a mistake and we should go back and change some of this for everybody, not just for ourselves. So I don't expect Democrats to do anything other than what liberals and Democrats do. To expect any different would be foolish. But I do expect a lot more from the Republican opposition than to just dilly-dally around and seem to be bumbling around in no direction, just like President Obama and his foreign policy. And, oh, by the way, here's another thing. The president assured us that you would not lose your doctor, you would not lose your plan, if you chose to keep these. And even old David Plouffe was over, I think it was David, but anyway, Plouffe was on the news talk shows here Sunday saying, oh yeah, you're going to have more choices than ever under Obamacare. Well, let me just tell you what's going on in Indiana. Now, Indiana is in the process of implementing Obamacare, and they have a new online health insurance marketplace, and it's providing some, and you'll have more choices, and here are the kind of choices you're going to have, quote-unquote, tough choices for consumers. For instance, John Nowak has discovered that he will be able to keep his own current plan, only he won't be able to use the same doctor under that plan anymore. Because of the nature of Obamacare, there's been consolidation and things happening amongst hospitals and doctors that many doctors aren't going to work for the same plans anymore. They're not going to work in the same hospitals anymore. Now they're going to be employed by the hospitals, not self-employed. A whole lot of changes are going to go on that Obama could not ever have predicted. So for him to come out and say this or that, factually speaking, was just boneheaded and stupid. But that's what Democrats and liberals do. And as long as they can get away with it, who can blame them? But oh no, you'll have more choices, all right. Only the choices won't be the kind you like. They'll be the lesser of the evils. Should I take my doctor or should I take my plan? And this fellow decided to take his doctor. Even though it's not the plan he wanted, the plan's going to be more expensive, as they all will be. But that's the choice that we're getting from this administration and its plan. Okay, folks, when we come back, we're going to have Lenny Curry, the chairman of the Florida Republican Party, join us. And I hope you'll stick around with us because we've got a lot to go through here this afternoon. Once again, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. Here are the pros doing it. I'll leave you with some candy.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American Adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Okay, that's right. And Hacksaw Jim Duggan, along with Mike McBath and Colonel Danny McKnight, will be joining us in the studio Thursday, so you're not going to want to miss that show. Welcome back to the American Adversaries. I am Christopher Hart, all alone in the studios, only just me and my guitar. But I do have on the phone with me now, and you can join us in the conversation at 407-774-8255, the chairman of the Florida Republican Party, a man who's been on our show a couple of times before. I want to welcome him back tonight, Lenny Curry. Thanks for being with us.
It's good to be back with you, and I was listening to that intro, and I was getting concerned that you were going to ask me to step in the ring with a WWE guy. It's been a long time since I could go toe-to-toe with anybody.
Hacksaw's a great friend and a great guy, so you'd be in good hands. Don't worry about that. But listen, Lenny, one of the reasons, now that you mention that, one of the reasons why we use promos like that is we liken politics, in particular at the federal level, to professional wrestling. There's a lot of the theater of the absurd. There's a lot of the behind-the-scenes deals. You have the media out there who are trying to tell us who the good guys and the bad guys are in case we can't figure it out for ourselves. And then I was reading Peggy Noonan's article in the Wall Street Journal this past weekend, and there's a new book out by a fellow, his last name is Balz, B-A-L-Z, and he's written a book about last year's presidential campaign, not so much about what was going on, but what the strategy of it. And he quoted Trippi, the campaign manager of President Obama, and Trippi said that his famous political philosopher was Mike Tyson, and that Mike Tyson's rule of politics was, everyone has a plan until you punch them in the face, and then they don't have a plan anymore. You think that's what happened last year, or are the Republicans going to be better prepared this go-round?
Last year, a presidential national election was definitely tough, and I say, look, the strategy, I read Peggy Noonan's column, and I tend to agree with it. I mean, we had the worst national economy on record, modern times, under a president, and while there were the points of light, like in the state of Florida, where things were turning around under Governor Scott, nationally, just a complete mess. But they started early defining and punching Mitt Romney, and they talked about the middle class and how much they care about the middle class. And I forgot who said it, but, you know, if you tell a lie enough times, it eventually becomes the truth in people's minds.
That's right.
But that's basically, I think, what happened nationally.
Yeah, and I want to get to the topic so that, we actually got you on here. But while we're on this subject, I have addressed that, the stuff, they're being the champion of the middle class. Yeah, Barack Obama, he just made that series of speeches right before he went on his vacation, championing himself as the, laying himself as the champion of the middle class, when in fact all of his policies have affected the middle class adversely. So I have come up with around here, and I encourage you at the state level, and if you can pass it on up to the national level, let's use the same rhetoric they used against Mitt Romney and Republicans, the war on women that we were supposedly carrying out, and say, okay, well, you guys are carrying out a war on the middle class. And here's what we mean. Look at Obamacare. Look at who's going to be hurt by Obamacare. Look who's going to pay for Obamacare. And just go right down the list. The stimulus. All the money we've given away to the green energy. Who ultimately does it come back and impact? The middle class. We should not allow him to claim to be the champion of those who he is hurting the most.
I agree with you. And in fact, when you mentioned the war on women, isn't it funny how many in the media spin things. I mean, just look what's going on right now with Spitzer and Wiener and
sure.
Democratic mayor out in California.
Right.
You talk about a war on women.
That's what I'm saying, Lenny. It's ripe for us to use against the liberal causes because, in fact, those people who they say they want to help the most, the poor, the middle class, women, you name it, they actually hurt the most. But I want to go back and talk about, you were talking about Governor Scott and him turning things around in Florida. We can see that in particular, I think, in manufacturing, can't we?
That's right. You know, he advocated for, pushed, and led on a manufacturing jobs tax cut, which is a tax cut on sales tax on the purchase of manufacturing equipment and machines. Anybody that's been in business knows that will, I mean, that's significant when you're looking to invest capital to grow your business. If you get a tax cut on a sales tax, that's going to be big for you, and you're going to buy more equipment and ultimately end up hiring more people.
And
it's consistent with what he's done since he's been in office. This is one of several business tax cuts since he's been in office over the last 3 years. He's also cut over 2,600 regulations and streamlined the permitting process. So anybody that has a small business knows that you can't just go down one day and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to open up a lemonade stand. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into opening up a business, and he's made it easier for entrepreneurs to get up and running.
That's a great point that you made about cutting back the regulations. You said 2,600?
That's exactly right.
How did he go about doing that? Is he reviewing all regulations under state law?
Yeah, when he took office, I mean, he did a complete overview of how we attract business in the state of Florida and what existing law or anything that's codified that might not be beneficial to that. Rick Scott campaigned on job creation. He came out with a bold campaign slogan, which was, let's get to work. And he's delivered. He has delivered 369,000 private sector jobs created since he was elected. And, contrast that to the over 800,000 jobs lost under his predecessor. And it's clear that Rick Scott's focus on job creation is delivering results for Floridians.
Now, he is going to have some accomplishments to run on, unquestionably, what you're just talking about. But is he also going to come out with another, say, bold plan to take us even further forward?
Well, I mean, right now, we've been talking about this thing that it's working. He is. People are getting back to work. We're paying down our debt. So let me back up. So there's a whole set of factors that go into creating a friendly business environment. One is cutting the regulations that we talked about. The other is he's paid down our debt by about $3.5 billion. Contrast that with what's going on in the federal government, where they're incurring more debt. Contrast that with what happened before he was governor, where we incurred an additional $5 billion of debt. So he's doing these things, which over time lead to job creation in a business-friendly environment. And these aren't just statistics and jobs and numbers. These are people's lives. Anybody that's been without a job or looking for a job knows that we spend most of our time working. It's our purpose. It's how we fulfill ourselves. It's how we feed our families. It's how we take care of ourselves. 369,000 people in the state of Florida under Rick Scott now have a purpose when they get up every day.
Are people actually now beginning to come back to Florida looking for jobs?
Yeah, people are moving back to the state of Florida. They were leaving Florida. And Charlie Crist, the governor, our housing market's beginning to turn around. Just all the, when you wake up as an executive or as a leader of an organization, every day you are focused on a handful of very specific things, you begin to see results. And that's exactly what the governor's done with jobs and with education as well.
Okay, yeah, I want to go in that direction when we come back. Do you have time to stick around through the break and take one or two questions after?
I do, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, we're coming up on a hard break, so stay with me. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Lenny Curry on The American Adversaries with Christopher Hart. You're welcome to join us, 407-774-8255. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation, but please stick around, and I think you're going to enjoy the rest of the show as well. We have a couple more guests, so stick around. Don't go away.
And you don't want to make it mad.
Hello, this is Buck Mills, former WCW World Television Champion, Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American Adversaries. You better listen. Don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
That's right. Don't mess with that. Johnny be bad. Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. Christopher Hart in the studio with you right now. My producer, Nasser Dennis, will be joining me momentarily. But right now I have on the line the chairman of the Florida Republican Party, Lenny Curry. And we're talking a little bit about politics, a little bit about the state of the economy in Florida, and a little bit about education. One thing I wanted to ask you about in particular, Lenny, that, you know, Governor Scott wanted more money put back into education this year, and he wanted teachers to be compensated a little bit better, and he also wanted a little relief for them because a lot of teachers, if not all of them, have to buy some of the supplies for their classrooms out of their own pockets. Was he able to do anything for teachers in that regard?
Yeah, he actually was, and I'll tell you, speaking from my own experience, I have three kids, two of which are in public elementary school right now, one that is still too young, but and these teachers, they work hard, and they do spend their own money on school supplies, and it's a big deal. So he set up a debit card program that has a tax-exempt ID number on it and allows teachers to shop for school supplies tax-free for the entire year. So it's a good way to, a small way to reward our teachers, the ones that are working hard and doing the right things by our kids.
Are teachers taking them up on the offer, or do they just automatically get it, like with a paycheck or something?
Yeah, the school districts and the counties have to opt in. So far we have Lafayette, Broward, Hamilton County, Hendry County, Jefferson, Orange County, and Miami-Dade. I may be missing one too. But so the school districts themselves, they still have local control. They have to opt in. Any teachers that are interested, if they're listening, should just contact their local school district. And, in fact, if the school district has not opted in, they should call them and ask them why.
So they still have time to get it turned around in case they still want to opt in or can convince the higher-ups in their county to do so.
That's right. And, you know, there's a big debate that goes on in this country and in this state about teachers and teacher unions. And look, the teachers unions, there's no question, are not out for the kids. But the teachers get up every day. The teachers that I know, they work hard, they work tirelessly, and the idea that they have to go out and buy school supplies, they choose to buy school supplies with their own money, it's nice that the governor's given them some relief.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, the teachers, they get the bum shake every now and then because they're at the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak. They're just trying to do with the best of what they have, whether it be curriculum tests or pencils and paper. So
well, here's what I know. My kids spend the majority of their day during the school year with their teachers, and they come home really, they're learning, and they come home really well.
All right. Okay, one last question. I know you're short on time, but what's the latest on this week or this day in Christery?
Well, it never ends. I mean, you know, Charlie Crist is and I haven't actually looked at one out today.
Okay, but the website is still up and everything. Each day, something new.
We're tweeting every day. Yeah, every day there's something new.
What's that website again?
Go to the Twitter, Christery Class. So, C CRISTORY class is the Twitter lead, and that will lead you to the Tumblr website and everything else.
Okay.
The best place to get it is on Twitter if you're on Twitter.
Okay. All right, Lenny, like I said, I know you're short on time, but I want to thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon. And if you're in town on September 1st, which is a Sunday night, we're going to be doing a big bash down at Cafe Positano to celebrate our third-year anniversary.
Oh, I appreciate that. Always a pleasure. Let me leave you with this. The daily Christy is this. Charlie Crist, we lost over 800,000 jobs on his watch.
All right. And under Governor Scott, we've picked up half of what he promised, right? Didn't he promise
369,000 jobs. Almost the year we're getting there. So.
And he said give him two terms and he'd come up with 700,000 or something, didn't he?
That's exactly right. So.
Okay. All right. He's a man.
Get it done.
In that regard, he is a man of his word, as are you, Lenny Curry. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Okay, thanks again. Okay, folks, once again, that was Lenny Curry, the chairman of the Florida Republican Party. I wish we could have kept him longer, but due to time constraints, we had to let him go. But that's radio, and I'd like to get to my next guest. But first, let me just remind you, we are live here. 407-774-8255 is the number. And the next fellow I want to pick up is, he's normally with us on Fridays, but due to scheduling conflicts, we had to push him back a couple of days until Tuesday. But I want to thank him for being with us tonight, our man Tom Tillison from Biz Pack Review. Thanks, Tom, for being on the show with us.
Hey, Chris, it's my pleasure. And, you know, I knew you had to be in the studio by yourself because you opened up the show singing.
That's right. How did I do?
Well, I think the other guys would have held you back if they were there.
Well, it was funny because during that long half-hour break, the station manager and the programming director came in here. They took my guitar away. They gave me a breathalyzer test. I didn't know what was going on. I'm just teasing. But, Tom, thanks for listening to the show. And quickly, the economy is kind of turning around here in the state of Florida. I mean, it's still a part of the U.S. economy. In that sense, it is being held back. Do you think it's going to be enough to carry the day for Rick Scott?
Well, you know, here's my concern, and I would have asked Lenny this, you know, as well. We look at the 2012 election, presidential election. And Mitt Romney, I mean, he did his darndest to keep that election focused on the economy, on Barack Obama's economic record, because, as we all know, there was nothing positive there for Obama. So anyway, Romney did his best to keep that focus on economic issues. And in my opinion, the Democrat Party was successful in steering the narrative away from the economy. So I would assume in this election, because that's the one area where Rick Scott, you know, is doing well. His numbers are a positive reflection on his role as governor. You know, the Democrat Party is going to do everything they can
right
to steer the conversation away from that.
That's where they're going to attack him. They're going to go after his strengths, just like they went after Mitt Romney's strengths. And I don't know if you saw it, but I talked momentarily with it about Lenny Curry, but this article in the Wall Street Journal where Peggy Noonan quotes Trippi, the campaign manager of Barack Obama's presidential campaign, as saying that Mike Tyson is his favorite political philosopher, and the rule Mike Tyson rule of politics is everyone has a plan until you punch them in the face. And that's what happened to Mitt Romney, and I'm afraid that that's what they're going to try to do to Rick Scott. And I think that's what you just said.
And again, the sense of that, what I'm trying to say is that the Democrats are going to talk about everything but jobs. You know, they don't want to talk about jobs, and they don't want to talk about that because that reflects positive on Rick Scott. So they're going to talk about anything and everything except jobs. One of the key topics I think that's going to turn out to be a real big election is medical marijuana. You know, but they're going to make a lot of these other side issues the key focus just to be able to stay away from the jobs.
Do you think that John Morgan pushing for an amendment for medical marijuana is two reasons? One, he wants to do that, but two, he's trying to pull people out to the polls that would be likely to vote for liberals and Democrats?
I think the idea there is to target those libertarian-minded candidates that may, you know, not be excited about voting for the Republican candidate. And here you have a Democrat option who is supporting behind the legalization of marijuana. I think that could definitely, you know, tip a fair number of votes in the Democrat candidate's favor.
There have been, you know, whispers in the past about legalizing drugs and legalizing marijuana. As a matter of fact, Newt Gingrich kicked the idea around. Dan Quayle kicked the idea around. Of course, we know Gary Johnson was a Republican before he became a Democrat. Are there people on the Republican side who could see this as an opportunity to, say, co-opt this issue and try to take it away from the Democrats? In other words, if it's just medical marijuana, if it's going to be prescribed by doctors, if it's going to be overseen and regulated, perhaps it's not a bad idea. Do you see any of that coming out of the Republican Party?
You know, to be honest, I don't. I don't know of anyone in the party that would support something like that. You know, immediately Rand Paul comes to mind, but I don't even know where he stands on the issue.
I believe he's for the legalization of drugs, if I'm not mistaken.
Like his father. Locally here in the state, I'm not aware of any Republicans that would support something like that. And again, I think that could be an Achilles heel for them going in the governor's race, going up against the Democratic candidate. That's going to make that a large part of his platform.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Nostradamus is with us now. Let me bring him in on this conversation. Nostradamus, your thoughts on this?
Well, first, let me just go back to your opening monologue, Chris. I'm reminded of the scene from Animal House in which Loudon Wainwright III is playing guitar on the stairway in the frat house.
Yeah.
With adoring girls sitting all around him.
Yeah.
And he's singing this hokey cheesy song, and John Belushi, who plays Bluto,
right,
comes walking by, grabs the guitar, and smashes it into pieces! And hands him back what's left of the guitar and says, sorry.
You see, that's why I do that when you guys aren't around. Okay. All right, all seriousness, though, Tom might be right that this medical marijuana issue may be something bigger than meets the eye, so to speak.
Yeah, it might be. And, you know, if you talk to individual Republicans, to a lot of them, even the ones who are against drugs, it's really not a big issue. It ranks way, way down there on the list of things that are important to them. So for a candidate to come out and say, yes, I agree, I think we should legalize marijuana under the strictest of measures, I don't think that's anything that's going to work against him.
Yeah, and by the way, this John Morgan amendment that he's trying to push for is not legalizing marijuana. It's legalizing the use of marijuana, and from what I understand, it's pretty well specific as to you'd be used medically. Mm-hmm. So it's when we come back from the break, I want to continue this a little bit further, because ultimately I do think it gets down to a lot to political strategy. You know, John Morgan, he's not just some old off-the-wall lawyer, all right? He's very key to the Democratic Party here in Central Florida. So when we come back, we'll continue this conversation, and we have more to talk about as well, so please don't go away. You are listening to the American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL.
Yo, it's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Yo, it's me. DDP. Diamond Dallas Page. The king of Honor Pig. The master of the diamond cutter. The three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversaries Try Time. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bye!
Okay, welcome back to the show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, if you're still around after my opening. Welcome back. Once again, 407-774-8255 is the number. We're live right now. I have Tom Tillison and producer Nostradamus on the line. One thing that concerns me about this, the medical marijuana thing and John Morgan pushing it, first of all, you know, he's very key in the Democratic Party here in the state of Florida, big fundraiser for the president and other Democrats, including Bill Nelson and others. And one of the things that, even though the economy was as bad as it was, Obama was able to sell himself as the champion of the middle class last year. He's still up to it. And one of the things that I fear is that they're going to do the same thing to Rick Scott here in the state of Florida. They're going to come up with Charlie Crist or someone who they will be able to say, yes, see, we really care about you. We care about your pain. We care about your suffering. We're the ones who care. They don't have to show a record, Tom, if they can still sell the snake oil. And I think it would be a mistake to sort of blow. I think you have sort of hit the nail on the head. This is going to be one of the crucial issues in Florida next year and perhaps 2 years after that as well. We can't just blow it off, so to speak. No pun intended.
You're absolutely right because, going into the 2012 presidential election, nobody in this country could have predicted that women's contraceptives would have become a central part of that campaign, and that's exactly what happened. And that's going to be the same tactic going into this election here in Florida, where the Democrats are going to try to control the message and control the narrative. And they've gotten so much mileage out of the whole thing with the middle class. It's ironic, just like women's health. The more they do to hurt a specific demographic, the more they claim to be helping that demographic. And, the low-information voters out there buy this every time they fall for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Well, part of the problem is the Republicans. Mitt Romney got punched in the face, and he was done after that. He didn't fight back the way he should have fought. When you get punched in the face, you punch the other guy in the face. And so if the Republicans aren't going to go out there and say what I've been saying on this show, no, they are not your champion. They are at war with you, and here's the evidence, and here's what I will do to alleviate it. If they aren't going to do that, then why shouldn't we expect people to believe the inundation that they're going to get from the Democrats and the mainstream media?
Well, you talk about the Republican Party being punched in the face, Chris. The thing is, I don't think, the Republicans credit that to a lucky shot. They don't give their opponents the credit that they're due.
Granted.
That was skill behind that. They see that as just a lucky shot, and we don't need to worry about that. We'll just continue to focus on the things that we do, and we won't worry about that. And I think that could be their undoing.
I think you're absolutely right. Once again, great work, Tom Tillison. We really appreciate you. And you're going to be at our three-year anniversary celebration September 1st?
Well, I just heard about it earlier today. We were talking to Chairman Curry, who's my favorite Republican. And I would love to be a part of that.
Okay, that's going to be on Sunday night from 5 to 8. We'll put you on the air live with us down there. We're going to do a remote broadcast from Cafe Positano. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we'll have people who can actually play the guitar and sing and get paid for it, sort of for the entertainment. So we hope to see you there, Tom. Thanks for being with us tonight.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay. All right. Nostradamus, I want to get back to you, but I've got Rick on the line who has a couple of thoughts he'd like to go over. So let me take Rick's phone call, and I'll go back to Nostradamus, and we'll finish up the show tonight. Rick, thanks for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Yeah, thanks. There's two things I wanted to mention. One doesn't have anything to do with the other, but there's two ideas I have why I think the Republicans are being fiscally irresponsible. Number one is, why are so many of them against marijuana, except apparently for Chris Christie, if you read about that.
And Rand Paul, and there have been others. Okay, go ahead anyway.
And they just every time I see them going into somebody's house on TV, cutting down plants, and I think it's the biggest waste of taxpayers' money I can think of. I mean, it's just, why are they wasting time on this? It's just a plant that grows in the ground.
Okay.
No worse than a lot of other side effects from other things.
Okay. All right, you said you had two things.
Yeah, number one, another way I think Republicans are being fiscally irresponsible is this whole gay bashing thing. These people have more disposable money. What they're going to do is, if you don't give them rights, I think they deserve every right that every other person deserves. They're just going to go elsewhere and spend their money elsewhere. It's just very fiscally irresponsible. Those two things have nothing to do with each other, but they're two.
Okay, you're basically talking political strategy that the Republicans are shooting themselves in the foot in these two instances.
Yeah, I think they are.
Okay, point well taken. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate you calling tonight. Let me go back to my producer, Nostradamus. Nostradamus, Rick makes the point that the Republicans tend to shoot themselves in the foot. I don't know if I'd go along with these two instances that he cited, but certainly they do have a habit of doing that.
Yeah, in general, they make a habit of saying the right thing the wrong way at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And Governor Scott, if he wants to get reelected, he might do well to hire the guy that put together the commercial that I sent you and Nick earlier today. It was a commercial for a fake product. And the idea was this. It's a new beer. Imagine this new beer. It has no calories, doesn't give you a gut, doesn't give you a headache or hangover, and, oh yeah, by the way, it's not beer. It's marijuana.
Well, I'm glad you told us that before we played it. We might have had 30 seconds of silent air as Nick was bumping, you know.
It's a persuasive argument. I don't think we should legalize marijuana, but at least that thing got me thinking.
Well, you know, I'm for the legalization of drugs, and here's why. Because it leads to crime. Illegal drugs prohibition leads to crime, which leads us to enforce our police, and it just, you just begin this downward spiral. We just had the author on the show last week. We're going to have him back again talking about the militarization of America's police forces. This is the where you have to go if you want to eradicate the use of drugs. You have to go into people's homes. You have to kick doors down. You have to terrorize people. That's what you have to do.
And we can sure use those resources in a lot better ways.
That's why I think we should legalize drugs. You would have a far better effect on controlling the misuse of those things, I think. I mean, it's harder to get a bottle of alcohol down here at Lake Brantley High School than it is a bag of weed, I'll guarantee you that.
I wouldn't know. I haven't tried either one of those.
I'm judging by back when I went to high school, I guess. But nonetheless, we are funding cartels around the world. We are funding terrorists around the world because we have this notion that it's bad. Yes. So we'll make it illegal? Stupid. It was a progressive idea. Prohibition is a progressive liberal idea. Why do conservatives want to stick with it? You can only accomplish a war on drugs by taking people's liberty and freedom away. It ain't worth it. All right, Nostradamus, we only have a minute left. Anything else? Because I don't want to leave the show on that note.
Let's leave on a funny note, okay?
Let's do.
Tyler Weaver starts fifth grade in September. He won the Dig Into Reading contest at the Hudson Falls Public Library this summer. He's won this contest 5 years in a row. The director of the library says, we might have to change the rules of this contest because other kids are dropping out because they can't keep up. She's thinking of giving children whose names are pulled out of a hat a prize instead of the one who reads the most books. Imagine that, a hotshot kid named Tyler, huh?
It sounds a lot like Common Core. Get ready. This is going to be the way of the future. The way of the future. Remember that movie? The way of the future. He kept saying it over and over again. The way of the future. The way of the future is it's going to be more important how your kid feels than what he learns.
Everybody gets a prize. Everyone gets a trophy.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. But we will be back tomorrow night, folks. So make
sure.
That's right. Do we have any guests tomorrow night, Dennis?
Tomorrow night, it's going to be you and me, and I don't know who we have tomorrow night. It might just be the two of us.
All right, but you'll be in the studio, okay? I'm going to hide my guitar.